Central Wisconsin at our studios on East Wausau Avenue. Currently fair skies. Temperature knocking on the door of 80. Right now, 79 degrees in Wausau. The time is 2:07. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Coming up over the next 2 hours, we got a pair of guests at 2:33. We'll talk to one of the newest members of our team at Civic Media. Civic Media's new sports director, as we'll talk to Mike Clemens. Mike is a veteran. He's been around the Green Bay Packers and the Milwaukee Brewers a whole bunch over the years. In fact, before we were bought by Civic Media, we had a sports format here on WXCO and had a program called The Bill Michaels Show on in the afternoons. And Mike Clemens was often on that program. He was a person that worked along with Bill Michaels for many years, and we're very fortunate that his expertise, his presence in Titletown at American Family Field will now be part of our group here on Civic Media. So our first chance to talk to Mike Clemens, we'll talk about Packers rookie minicamp, the schedule coming out tonight. It's already been leaked, the Packers schedule. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the new quarterback, Jordan Love, and a whole bunch more. Plus, we'll talk about the Brewers. He's been down at American Family Field. The Brewers have struggled recently. They've lost 8 of their last 10 games, but one of the, I think, weirdest stats you'll ever hear is the Milwaukee Brewers, while going 2-8 over the last 10 games, have actually picked up a game on the first-place Pittsburgh Pirates. Pittsburgh has gone 1-9 in that time span, and the Brewers just one half game behind Pittsburgh. And in fact, the entire National League Central Division over the last 10 games have had losing records. So while the Brewers have struggled, so have everybody else in the NL Central. And we'll talk about what's going right and what's going wrong with the Milwaukee Brewers with Mike Clemens coming up at 2:33. Then in hour number two at 3:15, we'll be joined by Bruce Grau of the Wisconsin Poor People's Campaign. And going to talk a little bit about medical coverage, because there's a chance in the next month that over 300,000 of our neighbors could lose their medical coverage. Yep, starting in June. Children, working parents, elderly folks, disabled individuals living in all corners of our state. We'll talk about that with Bruce. And also, the Poor People's Campaign is calling for what they're calling a national call for moral revival. And I want to touch on that as well, because I did not watch last night the former president of the United States, Donald Trump, his appearance on CNN, but been able to read plenty about it. Didn't have to watch it to get the full gist of what was going on. And yesterday, after the show, it was such a beautiful day here in central Wisconsin. I was on my way home. Instead, I stopped over at Wausau East High School. There was a makeup game. Usually on Wednesdays, there's no games, and I didn't have a game broadcast yesterday, so I stopped by, enjoyed the afternoon after I got done working here at about 5 o'clock, swung on by, and was able to catch most of the game between Wausau East and D.C. Everest in high school softball. And as I watched, it's different, because normally when I'm doing a game, I'm there. Sometimes I'm actually within the crowd, depending on where I'm set up. I still don't really look around, and I usually don't listen to what's being said, and I'm focused on doing my job. I'm focused on calling the game. But as I sat in the crowd yesterday, just enjoying the game, watching the game, there were people there that I know vote Republican. I know there are people there that vote Democratic. There are people there that were independents. There are people there that were conservatives, liberals, moderates, people there that tune in every morning to our competition across town, the conservative radio on WSAU. Probably, hopefully, a few folks that were tuned in here on Civic Media and Bow Falls Radio 98.9. But the idea in watching the people and just being part of it and talking to a few folks, morality and how different being there was with, I think, a wide swath of people than what we saw in the crowd with Donald Trump's appearance last night, where folks are laughing at sexual assault. Morality. And I think moral revival has a little bit of a religious connotation to it. And I don't look at it that way. I'm not an overly religious person. But I think that we all have, I think, a base of morality. And I think that this nation and the state do have to have, I think, a moral revival to step away from a lot of the hatred, a lot of the anger that we see each and every day. And I want to talk about that with Bruce Grau, again, the Poor People's Campaign and their national call for moral revival. What does that mean? Where do we stand as a society when it comes to morality? And where can we go from here? And especially concerning healthcare, because that's a big focus right now for Bruce and that organization. So we'll talk to Bruce Grau coming up at 3:15 today on this program. We're going to take a quick timeout. Before we get to our talk with Mike Clemens at 2:33, going to spend a few moments discussing what we did see last night with Donald Trump, because there's a few things I think we can point out. That's coming up next here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 12:30. And Chad Holmes back with you. A little computer issue here. There we go. Yeah, we're having a little issue here with my computer. But no problem. The time is 2:15. Beautiful afternoon. Temperature stands at 79 degrees. We've seen some sunshine, a few clouds out there as well. Also want a quick note that coming up later on this afternoon when I get done with this program, I'll be heading to a Merrill to see the Wausau West High School baseball team. Wausau West taking on Merrill in a Wisconsin Valley Conference baseball matchup. That game can be heard live on BowFallsRadio.com Sports 2 stream. Again, if you go to our homepage at BowFallsRadio.com, you'll see a listing of what's on the air. Be able to listen live on the website. And then below the listings of the show that's on and the shows that are coming up, you'll see Sports Stream 2 and Sports Stream 3. All you have to do is click on Sports Stream 2, and then you'll be able to tune in, hit start, and you'll be able to hear me starting at 4:45 for the pregame and 5 o'clock for the first pitch. That's Wausau West High School Baseball against Merrill. 4:45 live on BowFallsRadio.com Sports Stream 2 this afternoon. Yesterday, in the run-up to the CNN Town Hall event with former President Donald Trump, I said that the expectations I had were zero. Because, number one, I didn't plan on watching it. Because if you were tuned in the last 2 days and you caught me reading some postings of blog writings of the morning show host over on WSU that kind of got under my skin a little bit, I've come to the realization that at times it's good just to step back, and especially when you know the information is going to be out there. And I knew that there would be story after story written, media post after media post put out about the CNN town hall with Donald Trump. But the reason I had zero expectation that this would be a positive for American democracy, that's the way I looked at it. Because I have been a historian of elections of this country for a very long time. I've always been somebody that loves history and especially election history. And it's not as easy as saying, well, CNN should just not talk to Donald Trump and he should ignore Donald Trump. Donald Trump's out there. I don't think they should be putting him into the situation that we saw last night. But the idea that we just completely ignore him is not the right way to go about it either. You need to discuss what Donald Trump means, what the issues Donald Trump pursues and pushes, what do they mean for our country? And the way I looked at this town hall last night was in the prism of American democracy, because I think there's one thing, I think that the great, 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 great majority of Americans, from the left wing to the right wing, there is a belief in democracy. Sometimes we can get manipulated by politicians and media sources as well. And you may think you're being pro-democracy when you're following something that's very much anti-democracy. And when it came to trying to be a pro-democracy point of view last night for CNN, again, I had zero expectation because, again, I had a quote that I got from a article that I had read last year, a quote from Caitlin Flanagan in The Atlantic. And it was on Facebook and one of their vice presidents. And so it was not totally political, but it was political at the same time. But the line and the paragraph that I thought about in the run-up last night was this one again. Today's young people have been forced to learn that old lesson because they are the inheritors of 40 years of corporate greed, private equity smash and grab, bank deregulation, and the collusion of the very rich and the U.S. government to squeeze every penny it can from the middle class and move it into the counting houses of billionaires. And this was the last line of the paragraph that I think exactly says what we saw last night. They know the game isn't rigged against them. They know the game was lost long before they were born. Corporations are the problem. Corporations, she says as well, huge corporations are never, ever on the side of the people. You can't take your eyes off of them for a second because anytime you look away, they'll do terrible things. CNN is now owned by Warner Brothers Discovery, the continuing mergers of massive corporations into bigger and bigger, and I say more dangerous, entities. Warner Brothers Discovery does not care about democracy. They care about the bottom line. They care about turning around CNN's dismal ratings. And I think there's one thing that I'm going to have to say right out loud. Donald Trump brings ratings. Donald Trump, when he was president, brought bigger ratings because whether you loved him or hated him, he was a content machine. And corporations with Joe Biden don't have that same content machine. So I have been very worried for the last couple of years that the lower ratings for CNN or MSNBC, to a lesser extent Fox, because it's always when you have somebody that is up against the party in power, Fox News has plenty of content to go whether it's true or false, and I think a lot of it's false, up against President Biden. So less of an issue, but even for them, Trump would be a content machine. So you have these multi-trillion dollar entities that will attempt to use Donald Trump to improve their bottom line. And that's what we got last night. We didn't get anything that helped democracy. And we saw the worst of us. And that's, again, why in the last segment I talked about being in a group of people yesterday, late afternoon, early evening, watching a high school softball game, not knowing the people next to me or in front of me or behind me, what their political views were, but just being part of a group at a, you call it a community event where two area high schools are playing softball. And then you see the people that were in that room last night in New Hampshire. The power of groupthink. I think the power of being led by corporate media, being told what to think or what not to think. And we're, it's not a natural aspect where we're just going to follow blindly, but I just think that we've seen study after study over the years where, I mean, things like the Holocaust didn't just happen. There are ways people can be lured in. And I think we have seen a lot of people lured in through conspiracy websites, corporate media, and I would say dishonesty from people that have a responsibility to be more honest. And I would say elected officials are number one. And when the president of the United States for 4 years, like Donald Trump, was known not to tell the truth over and over again, it makes democracy's job a lot harder. It makes America's job a lot harder to nourish the system that we've had for more than 200 years. But, I mean, how can you not be chilled when you see Donald Trump make fun of sexual assault and adults in that audience laughing as Trump mocked sexual assault? Stuart Stevens of the Lincoln Project put out a tweet during that event last night that kind of, I thought, hit the target in terms of that chilling aspect of those moments of laughter. He tweeted out during the course of that program, all of those adults who were laughing as Trump mocked sexual assault, when your daughters come home from school or a date and ask you how can boys treat women like they do, will you tell her it's because people like you think it's funny and approve? When it ended, this is what was said. This is right after the program with Donald Trump ended. This is what Jake Tapper had to say about it.
Oh, from Washington, and it was an interesting night. Mr. Trump's first lie was told just seconds into the night with his false familiar claim that the 2020 election was, quote, a rigged election. And the falsehoods kept coming fast and furious about the January 6th insurrection, about the threat to Vice President Pence, about Pence's ability to overturn the election, about COVID, about the economy, and more. He called a black law enforcement officer a thug. He said people here in Washington, D.C. at Chinatown don't speak English. He attacked Caitlin as a nasty woman because she was trying to get him to answer a question. Perhaps most chillingly, the day after, a 9-person jury of his peers in New York found him liable for sexual battery and defamation and ordered him to pay writer E. Jean Carroll $5 million. He made fun of her account of her sexual assault. And many in the audience laughed.
And the thing about it is, yes, that's all true. Absolutely. Every aspect of what Jake Tapper said on CNN right after CNN aired this town hall is true. But it was CNN who set this up. It was CNN who allowed these folks, these Republicans, these supporters of Donald Trump to fill the audience. It was CNN who decided to make it a town hall instead of a conversation where Donald Trump couldn't play to the audience and get them on his side and make the moderator, Caitlin Collins, the enemy. So again, it's not Jake Tapper or Anderson Cooper or any of the other CNN anchors who decided, hey, this is what we're going to do. This came from their corporate overlords, from the president of CNN, Chris Licht, from the chairman of Warner Brothers Discovery, from some of the top stockholders of Warner Brothers Discovery, many of which have been big donors to Donald Trump in the past. Again, did CNN get what they wanted out of it? Well, they got pretty good ratings. They certainly got a lot of talk. Got me talking about it here for the last 12 minutes. But in the end, is our democracy any better off because of this? Because often we talk about sunlight being the fuel for democracy. Sometimes, I guess, in this case, maybe too much sunlight can kill the flowers. It's something I'm sure will be talked about quite a bit, and this is only the beginning of the Donald Trump presidential campaign 2024.
Have we in the media learned anything over the last 7-8 years? A lot of people are saying no right now. We're going to find out, and I'm kind of scared to find out that answer over the next 18 months. We're going to take a quick break and then turn our attention to sports, the Packers and the Brewers, a chance to have our first conversation with the new sports director of Civic Media. We're going to have a chance to talk to Mike Clemens coming up next. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. Welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Again, if you have not downloaded the Civic Media app, just go to your app stores, look out Civic Media, be able to tune into this station and all the other Civic Media radio stations, have a podcast page for this program and all the Civic Media shows, plus a podcast of our high school sports play-by-play. As I said, once I'm done here, heading up to Merrill for Wausau West Baseball against the Merrill Blue Jays. 4:45 airtime on online, bullfallsradio.com, sports stream 2. And to talk a little bit of sports, a man that's just joined us here on Civic Media, but as I told him when I contacted him, he was on a lot here on WXCO Radio before the sale last summer. Heard him on the Bill Michaels Show for years here on Bull Falls Radio. Mike Clemens. And Mike, great to have you on board here at Civic Media. Looking forward to having somebody on the inside at Lambeau Field during the season.
Hi, Chad. How are you? Sounds like it should be a nice afternoon for high school baseball this afternoon too, right? Finally?
It is. Gorgeous. Yep, I don't have to wear a jacket or a winter coat as I've done during the last month or so. So that's absolutely fantastic. We've had a lot of weather that would be considered football weather in the last month. But the Green Bay Packers, it's interesting. The Packers, of course, tonight is the big schedule reveal, but we've had leaks already talking about what the Packers schedule looks like. But in the last couple of weeks, the finalization of the trade to Aaron Rodgers to the New York Jets. And now the transition, got the draft in the rearview mirror, and transition to Jordan Love as well. And I was saying to you when we got connected here, it's almost like buying that new car. You got the new car smell. I imagine there's some excitement at Lambeau Field for the newness of it all.
Excitement's one way to put it. Maybe a little bit of nervousness as well, because, I mean, after all, let's see, 1992... to 2022.
Yeah.
30 years of quarterbacks between Favre and Rodgers. 30 years. And now you're going to change that again. Only the third time that you really got an actual starting quarterback except for Brett Hundley filling in there during a collarbone incident.
And that was pretty ugly itself. I remember them getting shut out with Brett Hundley at quarterback.
One thing that happened when Hundley was quarterback is the offense turned away from Jordy and started to focus on Devontae, because Aaron Rodgers focused on Jordy Nelson so much, but they knew that Devontae was ready, mm-hmm. and they wanted to see more Devontae. And when Brett Hundley was in there, there was one game I remember covering in Chicago where he threw two or three clutch key passes to Devontae Adams instead of Jordy Nelson, and they ended up winning the game. I think he may have scored two touchdowns on it. But so then you'll go to talk to Devontae Adams in the locker room and saying, yeah, me and Brett, we've been working out on Saturdays. Oh. So there's that chemistry thing. There's that kind of a connection there. But I think at the same time, it was at that time that McCarthy was also trying to make a case in front of Aaron Rodgers, like, this is the guy you should be throwing to now. This is the guy with moves and all that. So, you know, it gets to be that kind of psychology as well. But, yeah, we had a chance to talk to Jordan Love yesterday. I covered a Brewers game on Tuesday night, and I had not actually been in the press box in a couple of years because we're changing that. We're going to be covering all kinds of sports for our Civic Media stations, including yours, you know, across the state. So some of the guys, like Todd Rosiak, who covers the team for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Adam McKelvey for MLB.com, they said, hey, we saw this thing that Jordan Love's going to talk tomorrow. I said, yeah, yeah. And they said, well, what's he like?
Hmm.
And I thought that was, it's true. Nobody really has a sense of what this young man has done. But as a mentor, as a backup, don't you think he's really done a great job of patiently waiting for his turn and flying under the radar, right?
Yep. No complaints. No complaints and no rumbles at all. We heard nothing that said, hey, oh, I'm getting anxious. I need to get out there and do something. It seems as though he has taken this apprenticeship very seriously.
And I asked him about that. I said, you know, people don't really know about you. And, of course, for him, it's like, well, what do you mean, man? I'm Jordan Love. You know, people stop me in grocery stores. And I've done, you know, personal appearances, and I've talked to you guys. I've done interviews. Yeah, but, you know, I mean, let's face it. The focus has been on Aaron Rodgers, you know, the times 10, right? Off-season, in-season, and everything. And we've only seen you in a couple of games, and so as a player, we don't really still know that much about you. And certainly as a personality, we don't. Now, I did like a 12, 13-minute one-on-one with him last November. It was a couple of days before his birthday. And maybe sometime we can play that back on your show. But it deals with the fact that one Saturday morning, Jordan Love was 14 and going to a high school basketball game, junior high, actually. And his father, you know, took him all over town. His father was so proud of him. His dad wanted to be an athlete, but he was a big guy, kind of a defensive tackle. He was a sergeant at the police department in Bakersfield, California, which is just, you know, east of L.A. But he'd had some heart problems. They had him on some medication, and the medication and the pills, you know, it's one of those prescriptions that said, if you have any kinds of thoughts of depression or suicide, notify your physician immediately. Well, he was doing some strange things. His wife was noticing that. And so one Saturday, Jordan went and was playing in this basketball game, and instead of his dad picking up, it was his aunt. And then they drove, instead of back to his house, they drove into his aunt's driveway. And it was there that his aunt turned to him, and that's how he learned your father took his own life about an hour ago. He had taken his service revolver and taken his own life in the master bedroom. His wife was concerned about some erratic things that he'd been doing, so she locked up his service revolver, not knowing that he had a second key to that lockbox. And 10 years later, here's Jordan Love taking over as the quarterback of the NFL. I mean, this is a tough kid that's faced some adversity in his life, and people learn more about those stories as you know he gets more games and more exposure in the NFL.
Do you feel like the Packers, the organization, the coaches, and even the fan base have a sense that there's going to be some patience involved, that there's going to be some growing pains from time to time with Jordan Love, and that they're not expecting him to be the next Brett Favre or the next Aaron Rodgers immediately?
Well, we went all through this with Aaron Rodgers in 2008, but Matt LaFleur's made it clear. And I can tell you this, Chad. You know, I'm there every day, particularly during training camp practices. And in the summer of 2007, you know, Favre had gone from a horrible 4-12 season where Mike Sherman got fired and they had a bunch of injuries, particularly in the backfield. Then Mike McCarthy comes in, new coaching staff. They get about to 8-8. And then in the summer of 2007, this is now Aaron Rodgers' third year in training camp. You know, your number one pick overall in 2005. And I stood there every day just saying, okay, I'm going to forget everything I know about Brett Favre. I'm just going to look at this number 4 and this number 12 in the red jerseys, and I'm just going to, you know, look at these guys as athletes, not the experience, that kind of thing, how they run the huddle. And by the end of camp, by Labor Day, I said, 12 is the better athlete. 12 is more accurate. There's just as much zip, if not even a little bit more, on the football. Much quicker, fresh legs. You know, 12's the better athlete. Now, Favre played his tail off that year, and I remember even his mom, Bonita, saying, you know, Brett's never been like this. I mean, even after games that they won, he's into that laptop on Sunday night, and the laptops were, you know, a new thing then. going over the games and going over the video and trying to see what they did wrong. And what, he was completely into that. And that was the year they went 13-3. But then he threw the pick. They lost to the Giants. The Giants went and upset the 18-1 Patriots in the Super Bowl. So, and then in 2008, you know, Rodgers was up against a year where he lost both his starting tackles for his protection. They lost a lot of games by just maybe a field goal or a couple of points. And the distraction of the Favre saga, you know, all through that summer. So, but I can tell you, Aaron Rodgers is still the better passer now than Jordan Love. He just is. He just is. But, you know, Jordan is 24 years old. And you saw that flash in the game against the Philadelphia Eagles, the Super Bowl team, the team that went to, you know, defend the NFC and their defense.
Mm-hmm.
Guy scores 10 points in 10 plays. And so the whole give Brian Gutekunst some credit. From the standpoint of this is the way the plan works out. You got a 37, 38, 39-year-old quarterback. Now, as opposed to the Buccaneers that say, all right, let's see if Baker Mayfield can pick it up where Tom Brady left off. You got a guy that's been in Green Bay with the offense, with Aaron Jones at his side, and these other players for 3 years. 3 years. And that's why Gutekunst says, it's time. It's ready. He's ready for his opportunity now. He's had 3 years of preparation. And so, you know, they've done their preparation for this transition. And here they go. But, you know, there's been tremendous articles written by Rob Domofsky at ESPN that go through that timeline. Like, the Packers were willing to give Rodgers one more shot to win a Super Bowl this year. And somewhere it was Rodgers' decision to say, you know, I need a change of venue.
Again, we're talking to Mike Clemens, our newest sports director here at Civic Media. Also, is this a chance for the coming out party for Matt LaFleur, that now it is his offense and not Aaron Rodgers' offense?
Yeah, you know, listen, I've had a pretty good 15-minute chat with some folks in the coaching department during the draft, and there is not as much as, you know, Aaron Rodgers running his own offense and audibling out of Matt LaFleur's plays as with what we seem to think. And there was plenty of times where Aaron Rodgers on 3rd and 7 maybe made a change at the line, whether it was pass protection, whether it was the run-pass option, where he saved Matt LaFleur's bacon. But on the other hand, you know, this is the Shanahan offense. This is what Mike Shanahan came up with. He came back with the Redskins. This is actually the philosophies that he did to try and win a 37-year-old John Elway a Super Bowl. And that's okay. This quarterback's not as mobile as he used to be. His arm is, you know, 75% of what he used to be, but he's a really smart football player. Let's build a team around him. Let's build it with the run. Let's build it with some trickeration in the backfield. And, you know, and let's get that zone blocking going. And that's where zone blocking came from, is in the late 90s with Mike Shanahan and the Denver Broncos. So the idea is you don't need a Hall of Fame quarterback to do this. You can be Jimmy Garoppolo and get to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in some of those matches, though, it took the better quarterback, the legendary quarterback like a Patrick Mahomes, to beat that team and to get past them. But, you know, even what Jalen Hurts was doing last year with the Eagles offense, if Jordan Love can play close to that just kind of consistency as a quarterback and as a 24-year-old where he's got fresh legs and he's got some speed and can elude and buy himself a little bit more time, that's the way this offense works. So I would love to see that they're going to go back to triple fakes, and jet sweeps, and those kinds of things like you saw in 2019. When LaFleur first got to Green Bay.
I know I told you 48. I got two more questions, but I'm going to go over a couple of minutes if it's okay with you, because I got
a
couple of questions here I want to ask you before we do finish up this conversation. Number one, what was your take on the NFL draft? You talked about Aaron Jones. You talked about the running backs being pretty solid for Green Bay. Added two tight ends, added a wide receiver, because obviously there's some changeover on the outside as well. Your overall take on what the Packers were able to bring in on draft night, or draft weekend, I should say.
Well, first, Chad, the draft couldn't happen until they got that Rodgers trade deal done. And even though Brian told us to, you know, at Combine, yeah, we wait till May or June, no hurry, you know, game starts till September, he was fooling. It would have driven him, both him and the Jets GM, Joe Douglas, nuts to have to go into a draft and still not have this thing done. And the more you look at it, I can't believe what the Packers got out of the Jets, that they were able to flip those trades in the first, but the, you know, the second round pick that they got. But the most important thing is they got rid of the money. Woody Johnson is picking up the tab. I mean, Rodgers had to re-sign his paperwork with the Packers before they completed the trade, you know, a month ago. And the Packers are going to pay him something like $1 million or something, and that's it. All the rest of that money is on New York. That's amazing that he got out of that money. So you take care of that. Now you've got Rashawn Gary out till who knows when, October, November, with the torn ACL he suffered on the carpet at Ford Field.
Yep.
And, you know, that defense went down when Rashawn Gary was lost. So for in terms of your pass rush, you got Preston Smith, and you got a couple of kids, you know, from second year that did pretty good. But this Lucas Van Ness is the real deal. First-round pick out of Iowa, 6'5", extremely speed. You know, he could be the next Aaron Kampman. He could be the next T.J. Watt. Who knows?
Mm. Hercules.
And Hercules. Now, at rookie minicamp, you know, we had a couple of practices there, and then they escorted us out, and I thought, you know, what's going on here? Because we were in there, like, for 45 minutes, maybe an hour. We saw drills. So finally I asked LaFleur in the press conference at the end of the weekend, last weekend, I said, did you do any 11-on-11 scrimmage team drills? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did two periods of that a day. Well, see, they kicked us out when they did that. So I haven't got really good information for you on how Jaden Reed, the wide receiver that they took, you know, out of Michigan State there at the top, what was that, second round? But I did get a great look, though, at the two tight ends. Luke Musgrave out of Oregon State, the Beavers, and Tucker Kraft out of South Dakota. They're huge.
Yep.
And they're made to be tight ends. They're not this Tyler Davis nonsense, you know, quarterback turn tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Or Josiah DeGuara, who is a good player for Fickle, you know, at Cincinnati, but he's kind of an H-back. These dudes, I mean, Tyler Kraft is 6'6". He's huge, Chad. He's huge, like 252. And when that guy is in the flats and that quarterback they drafted, Sean Clifford, just throws him a little dump-off pass and he turns it upfield, who wants to try and tackle this guy? He looks like a freight train coming down the sideline. That part is exciting, those two tight ends that they got.
And the final question is where the Packers are, because I last year when they lost that game to Detroit, after they'd worked their way back into a position to earn a playoff position, was that a turning point game for this organization? Because now they go into a season where you see an NFC North that, you know, a Chicago team that should be much better. Detroit will try to build on what they did. Minnesota was obviously very good last year. Did that game in itself maybe cause folks in Green Bay to look in the mirror and say, where are we? What do we need to do in order to maintain the position of Green Bay being a dominant force in this division?
Which game did you say, Chad?
The last game of the season when they lost that Sunday night
against
game.
The Lions?
Yeah, because that game was such a disappointment where you work your way back and where it looked like they were done. And then all of a sudden, things went right. They were winning. Other teams were losing. It was in their own hands, and they lose that game. It felt like, to me a little bit, that the Green Bay Packers are in a bit of a fork in the road right now.
For me, it was the Dan Campbell game. It's like, look what we've done. Look how far we have come. You know, that they've started out 1-6. So for such a strong finish, and to do that at Lambeau, where just a couple of years ago, it'd been what, like 25 years since the Lions had won a game in Wisconsin, whether it was Milwaukee or Green Bay. No, I the credit goes to Dan Campbell and his inspiration and why the Packers came out flat. But there's another moment like that. Remember how good they looked on Sunday Night Football against Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys? And then they, you know, they end up tying up the game. And then Jerron Reed, who they lost, he was just there for 1 year. He went back home with the Seattle Seahawks, makes a key play on Dak Prescott. And then Rodgers gets the ball back, and in one play, he hits Lazard over the middle. They go up like 37 yards, and they get into field goal range. And Mason Crosby kicks the field goal, and they win in overtime with a Mason Crosby field goal, and you know, McCarthy's just as frustrated as could be. That's when you thought, oh, maybe this team's got it together. And four nights later, the Titans just beat them up.
Yep.
Just beat them up. And you know what? I was walking out of the stadium at 4 o'clock in the morning after that Thursday night game, and I said, it's the quarterback. It's the quarterback. This guy has been in there insisting to play 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you know, with this fractured thumb, and this is nonsense. I mean, this is dysfunctional. And why aren't they using the backup quarterback that's been there 2.5 years to get them over on the hump and win these games so they, you know, get to the next level? But, you know, Rodgers couldn't hold up in that game against the Titans, or couldn't figure out a way to use some timing and whatever to get around that Titans defense. And I think that's the point where Gutekunst is looking and saying, all right, time to start thinking about next year. I mean, it's nice if we can get this 4-game run going, but, you know, that's when I think a lot of minds might have changed up in the press box with the personnel department. I'll tell you what else is strange, is to walk in the locker room the other day and not see the Rodgers nameplate gone, to see the Mason Crosby nameplate gone after 16 years. That was tough.
Absolutely, man. Oh, man. Well, Mike, I really appreciate the information. Look forward to having you on as much as I can lasso you in. We're really happy to have you on board here at Civic Media. And again, really, thanks for the information. We'll talk again real soon.
Appreciate it, Chad. Thank you.
That's Mike Clemens, again, our newest addition on the sports staff for Civic Media. We're going to take a quick timeout, come back with more. I'm Chad Holmes here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Thanks again to Mike Clemens, new sports director of Civic Media. He'll be spending lots of time down in Green Bay during the course of the season and be our man. He'll provide us audio and a whole bunch more. So thanks to him for spending a few minutes with us. It's going to be a very quick segment because we ran long with Mike, but coming up in the next hour, we're going to be joined at 3:15 by Bruce Grell from the Wisconsin Poor People's Campaign. Again, talk about the Wisconsin Poor People's Campaign National Call for Moral Revival. Talk about the healthcare issues that are coming quickly, and especially for a number of people in the state of Wisconsin. So we're going to talk about that with Bruce Grau coming up at 3:15 here in the second hour of the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio. Again, don't forget as well, I will be on the air at 4:45 from Merrill for Wausau West Baseball, taking on the Merrill Blue Jays. Wisconsin Valley Conference matchup was a tight one on Tuesday between those teams. West got a walk-off win, 4-3 in the bottom of the seventh inning. But 4:45 for the pregame, 5 o'clock for the first pitch, live online. Live online only, bullfallsradio.com. Sports Stream 2. CBS News at the top of the hour coming up. Also a Civic Media News update. Get our local and state news with Brittany Merlot coming up as well. Then I'll be back and we'll have a chance to find out about the weather heading to the weekend with Weatherology's Ray Miller. So a lot to come as we continue. I'm Chad Holmes here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO.